Hot dog. What do you want?
I don't know. So, how you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, so, how you doing?
How you doing?
I feel like I never just, you know, ask you how you doing.
How you doing?
But, how you doing?
Seriously, though, how you doing?
How you doing?
Okay, I got to know how are you
doing?
You're doing
the doing.
What are we doing?
The beer's already.
Okay.
All right.
So, I am in week, not week, sorry, this is week 836 of the Crankcast. Hello. How you doing?
You doing?
But I am in season 4 now of Lost.
Dang, that's a lot of shit in the last
that's a
week.
A lot of Lost to kind of cram.
I'm binging.
Yeah, no shit. Are you doing anything else but watching Lost?
Yeah, well, mostly I watch it while I'm working, and I've been working a lot, so I've been binging a lot. So, you know, got a lot of Lost in. You all, everybody.
You all, everybody.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, spoilers, in case you didn't watch a show that ended 10 years ago. Poor Charlie's dead now. Don't you know?
Charlie's been dead for a long time.
Well, yeah. So, Vincent's still the hero of the show. He's the only cast member that's not completely fucked up. Of course, we never really actually see Vincent's backstory, so maybe he is.
He's the puppy.
For all we know, maybe Vincent, like, you know, I don't know, slaughtered a family or something. Ripped their throats out.
What?
Trapped a mother and daughter in a car because he got bit by a bat. We don't know.
Hmm. That's a
different one. But, the whole show was a dream of a dog.
Dog dreams. That was a theory.
I sort of remember what? That.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Well, he's a yellow lab, right?
Yeah.
So that means they're doing good things. If you were a purple lab, then, oh, yes, he's making bad decisions.
Thank you.
Purple lab?
Don't worry about it.
No, I think you need to explain to him your stupid bullshit you've been going on about.
I was telling them earlier that I watched this YouTube video this morning while I was counting time. And it was about how I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
The whole show was color coordinated, and the color purple was a bad color, and the color yellow was a good color. And so there's all these scenes where when two characters get together, they're both wearing purple, and it's a bad match. Or one is wearing yellow and one is wearing purple, and like that, the yellow and yellow has good intentions and purple has bad intentions.
Huh.
Throughout the whole series, it holds true.
I never picked up on that.
And so, like, the woman at the end has the yellow umbrella. That's her whole deal.
Oh, right. Okay.
And, then him and, what's his roommate girl's name? Or not roommate, the reporter.
Oh, I'm blanking out now. I just watched it not that long ago.
They had the purple horn.
It was blue, though.
It's purple.
I'm pretty sure it was blue. They kept saying it was blue.
It's pretty purple looking.
Okay.
Just trust me.
Well, I remember the horn, because that was like kind of a plot point in several spots.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh, okay. So, since Vincent's a yellow lab, it's all good intentions.
That's what they're saying.
Okay. I am just at the beginning of season 4, so it's right when the crazy psychic people land. And we start, I guess this is the start of, well actually it was the end of season 3, they started doing flash forwards instead of flashbacks?
Yeah.
I can't remember, but at first you don't know that's what it is, right?
Yeah. Which one? I'm sorry.
At first, you don't know that it's a flash forward, right?
Yeah, at the end of season three, they keep flashing forward to Jack, and he's bearded Jack.
We have to go back.
Yeah, and you're not sure until he says that, and, you know, I mean, you start getting clues about it, because you see stuff about,
He sees Kate at the end, right? And we're like, wait a minute, what the fuck? How's that?
Right, yeah, well, you start getting clues before that, because you see, like, there's a shot in his apartment where he's got, like, maps laid out of, like, the ocean and flight trajectory, the flight path, I mean.
And they're all purple.
Yes, and they're all purple. And, you know, you see the Oceanic logo and stuff like that, and so you start going, like, wait a minute. You know, when was this kind of thing? And then you find out that, yeah, they're flash forwards.
It's all true.
And I don't remember, is it all strictly flash forwards from this point on? No, because there's some, I remember there's one episode where they go back to like 1950 or something like that.
What?
Yeah, like the modern castaways like wind up back in 1950 visiting the past.
Oh, I don't remember. They end up at the beginning of Dharma.
Yeah.
Is that a flash forward or just time travel?
No, that's just straight up time travel, bro.
And they have to, like, disguise Worf because he looks really obvious.
Mm-hmm, yeah. They don't want to explain the whole Klingon thing. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Because, you know, that would be awkward.
It's weird.
We don't talk about this.
They always travel to 1990 L.A.
Did they go there, too? Oh, no, I know what you're saying, sorry. I'm getting stuff mixed up. Never mind. But, so, again, you know, I'm going to say that this show really is a lot better when you watch it faster.
Hmm.
It,
when you're doing something else.
Well, yeah, that too.
Like all my movies.
I mean, it's not that it makes more sense, it's just that you forget a lot of the shit. So some of the stuff, like at this point, I'm pretty sure they were making a lot of crap up as they went along.
Really?
Well, I get that sense, yeah. You know.
All shows.
But, And there's still stuff, like, I can't remember... How do I want to say? It gets a little beyond the suspension of disbelief once they really get into the fact that everybody's tied together for some reason. You know? And I don't remember, do Jack and Claire ever find out that they're half-brother and sister?
No. No.
So we just know that. They never know that.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
And then, I forgot their sister.
That's the thing about that show.
They threw a lot of shit up against the wall, I guess, you know? I mean, I don't know. I guess they were just, you know, whatever came to mind, and if they felt like it was still good, they developed it more later.
That's right.
It's funny sometimes because I can't remember. I guess this was at the end of season three when Locke's in the pit after getting shot by what's it, Ben?
Yes.
So later they pick it up and then Walt shows up and tells him to get up out of the pit. Which I'm thinking, if I'm remembering right, Walt, that representation of Walt was actually the smoke monster, right?
Because
the smoke monster takes on different forms.
Yeah.
Because I mean, he comes back as Locke after Locke dies.
Man, I used to like this show. Everything you're saying makes me...
So, well, anyway, Walt shows up, and when Walt and his dad left the island, you know, Walt was still pretty much a little kid.
Yes.
And now when he shows up again, he's like, you know, 2 feet taller and older mm-hmm. looking.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't explain it, but Locke actually mentions it. He's like, yeah, well, he was bigger. Like, okay. But again, I mean, you know, if you start throwing that in with all the other tiny, whiny shit going on, it doesn't make any less sense than anything else. So. But I don't know. I mean, the show's got its fun moments and stuff, but it's not, like, I don't know. It's not 100% enjoyable. It's just weird, I guess.
Not 100% enjoyable.
Well, yeah, it's not unconditionally enjoyable, I guess I should say.
Yeah. Unconditionally enjoyable. Like me.
Yeah, you're 100% fun.
I've been described as unconditionally enjoyable.
By Ninja.
Aww. Oh, that's Ninja.
But yeah, I don't know. So, but again, I'm having fun rewatching it. So I guess that's what matters to me, right?
We're not having fun listening about it.
Well, you should have rewatched it with me.
I'm not doing a Lost podcast.
You kind of are.
I kind of am.
I'd rather that than a
Crankcast?
Smallville podcast.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Or did you like my Gilmore Girls podcast?
Not really.
Or, whatever. Probably the Smallville podcast was the best. When you think about it.
I liked your Smallville.
You loved my Smallville.
No, I didn't.
How about my Dawson's Creek podcast? Did you like that one?
No.
I'll do that one with you.
Oh, my.
I just go full One Tree Hill? Nightmare is a fucking terrible monster.
Really?
You're all terrible monsters, Sean. No, he's like a legit, like, the bad dude.
Really?
Allegedly.
We could do a The OC podcast.
Sean would be good at that.
I could finish the third season.
Oh, really? That was one I watched. The only reason I had started watching that was because when I was living with Jenny, she liked it, and so she made me watch it with her. And then I started liking it after a while, and I think that might have been like a Stockholm Syndrome thing.
Really, pretty good.
But I do remember enjoying it. After I got over my initial reluctance to watch it.
But man, season 3 is rough.
How long did that go? Was it only 3 seasons?
Yeah.
Okay. One other thing I didn't remember about Lost is that starting, like, the first couple of seasons were, like, longer than normal seasons. Like 24, 25, maybe 26 episodes, depending on which season it was.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But then after that, like starting with season 4, they start getting to be short seasons?
Yeah.
They didn't know what they were going to do.
I wondered if, because, season 4 was, that aired in 08, so I wondered if there was a writer strike in 07, wasn't there?
Yeah.
So I was wondering if that had anything to do with it.
Good.
But that doesn't explain seasons 5 and 6 being short too, though. Anyway. So there's your Lost update.
Thank you.
I know you were waiting for it.
I have been waiting for it.
Mm-hmm. Last night I took a break in between seasons 3 and 4 to watch that weird-ass, not terrible, but not good, Children of the Night movie that our Sean McKeever was in.
Did you?
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a long time. I mean, I remember seeing it on video back in the early 90s.
Did you see him?
Yeah, I recognized him this time, but that's just because I've seen him post pictures of his scene.
That's a weird movie.
It is a damn weird movie. It's got a lot of...
Vampire that lives underwater and it has a set of lungs that just hangs out on top of the water.
Well, they cough them out and then stuff them back in when they wake up.
Yeah, it's weird.
And, like, some of the camera angles... I mean, the movie's supposed to be a comedy, right?
I don't think so, dude!
Because it's done awfully funny.
I met that guy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Sean McKeever. No. I met the priest in that movie.
Oh, DeLuise?
DeLuise isn't the priest, is he?
No, he was a former priest. Sorry, the priest was his friend, or whatever.
Yeah.
Why'd you meet him?
He was at a convention in Nashville I was at.
Oh.
I was more interested because he plays the lead in Ghoulies 4, Ghoulies Go to College.
I'm trying to remember him in that. I'm trying to remember that movie. I know I saw it. We talked about it a few years ago, didn't we?
Probably.
I think we talked about Children of the Night a long time ago, too. But,
yeah.
It's just been a while since I've seen it. And it's strange because it has been a while since I've seen it. Like, when I saw it, it was probably... I think the movie came out in 91, and I didn't see it right away. And I I'm going to guess this was a straight-to-video movie. Because it was a, I mean, it was a Fangoria Presents movie, you know. And I think I didn't see it until like 92 sometime. Maybe 93. I had gotten it on video cassette from the place I worked.
Well, if you're looking to spot McKeever and his dad, do not watch Mind Warp, because you won't find them.
I have seen Mind Warp.
Yeah, he says they're in it, but I didn't see them.
Hmm.
Of course, they're all wearing crazy ass like helmets and stuff.
The best cameo by our friends that we've seen so far in any movie is Silantia.
Oh yeah, that horror movie I watched.
That is by far the funniest, my favorite, just so good.
Yeah, it is true.
What was the movie?
It's something very over serious. I forget, like Before I Wake or something like that.
Okay.
He's like the guy's apprentice.
Yeah, he's a weird druid apprentice or something. Like
licking his chops.
Yeah, he's always licking his lips like a creep.
Oh. Huh.
So good.
Well, it gets the Sean stamp of approval.
Yeah, it is good.
Dove approved.
It's only good because of that.
Yeah, I just remember waiting the whole movie. I was like, where is he? And then he showed up. And I was like, oh my God, it's worth it.
But yeah, there was something I was going to say about. Oh, yeah, it's weird seeing, like, because at the time when I saw it, you know, I think that Amy Dolan's is around our age, right?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Like, if she's younger, she's not more than, like, a year or two, tops. I guess I could look that up. But, so, you know, at the time, she was one of those, because she was in a bunch of, like, B-horror movie stuff and all that.
She's in Ticks, which is really good.
Yeah.
She's 52, so she's a little older.
Oh, wow. Yeah, she was born in 69. Okay. So,
Nice.
I was wondering. I knew you'd do it. I knew you would do it.
And so at the time, you know, she was one of my, like, whatever, you know, you get those little crushes on movie people and stuff. And, it's strange going back and looking at it now because, I mean, she looks super young in that movie. But she was older than I was at the time, so. But, I mean, that's another weird thing about that movie is, I mean, DeLuise, his character in that's, what, at least supposed to be in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
I mean, if not, like, in his 30s. Because, I mean, the priest guy was having an affair with Amy Dolan's mother. Because it was his brother's wife. And Karen Black was not young when she made the Trilogy of Terror in 1980. You know? At least not super young. So, like, the age thing is confusing in that movie. But they keep making references to, basically, you know, DeLuise and Dolan's having an affair. Like, and she's a minor, and he's, like, at least in his mid-20s, maybe 30. It's kind of weird. But, anyway.
You were into it.
Oh, I was into Amy Dolan, sure. But, I wonder, is she still making movies? I should look that up.
I don't know.
I don't
follow her.
I don't. Oh yeah, she was in Pumpkinhead too.
Pumpkinhead too.
Yeah. That was the Bloodwings, I think.
Oh, Bloodwings. Yeah, I've seen that.
Pumpkinhead too. Huh. Apparently, the last thing she acted in was in 2010.
Pumpkinhead 3.
No, it was she did a short thing called Committed, and she was in an episode of a TV show called Rules of Engagement.
I've heard of that.
So, yeah.
Play herself?
No, the character's name was Lori.
Oh, yeah, I remember Lori.
I remember Lori. So, And her middle name is Bluebell. Weird.
Bluebell?
Bluebell.
Why are rock stars so weird?
I don't know. A little judgy, huh?
Me?
Sorry, again, because the Lost thing is on the IMDb channel, I see a lot of the same commercials over and over, so they get drilled in my head.
Okay.
And there's one they keep showing for one of those food delivery places that's got Elton John and Lil Nas X. Is that how you say that?
I like Craig. Lil Nas X?
Is that how you say that?
Lil Nas, is that Lil Nas?
Lil Nas X?
No, is it Lil Nas X? I can't tell.
I don't know. I don't know how to say it.
I don't. Yes.
Okay. So they're in the commercial together, and Elton John's talking about how he's going to have French fries with mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mr. X...
Why are all my friends so much older than me?
And so, you know.
He prefers Lil.
Lil.
So,
it's short for Lillian.
So, Naz, can we call him Naz?
You can call him Naz, sure.
All right. So Naz goes.
Don't ask me. You can do whatever you want.
So Naz makes a remark about that being weird. And then Elton John goes, awfully judgy. And then he goes, weird. And then the commercial ends. But that's why I said that to you, is because that commercial kind of got drilled in my head.
Like a drill in my head.
That's weird. So, anyway. What you doing?
Me?
Yeah.
Making a fake Rice Krispie box.
Sweet. That's your job.
It's a stupid job.
That's fun.
Guess we'll pay you for this one.
I'm trying to decide whether or not I want to put this in the Star Trek font or the Rice Krispies font.
Can you mix them?
Doesn't really make it. It doesn't really hammer it home.
I don't know. That's pretty good, though.
It definitely needs to be in the that.
Yeah.
Okay. All
for
right.
Sure.
I can see you. All right.
I love that we're laughing at this and we can't explain what.
Yeah, I want to tell you.
This is great radio right here. Oh, man.
Just know I made a funny.
Make me a funny.
I'm real funny. I'm a funny guy.
I know. Everybody funny.
Oh, Lordy. Why am I so funny?
I don't know.
Scientists will study why I was so funny when I'm gone.
And how you were able to stand on those delicate ankles.
That's definitely true as well.
How was he able to do that?
He's like a heron or something. Like a crane.
Like a crane.
Like a weird crane.
Exactly.
Like a straight crane.
You pick things up with cables.
Well, did you see that... Kelsey Grammer is like endorsing this like Christian beer.
Christian?
Which I find weird because most hardcore Christians ain't really into the whole drinking thing.
Oh man, you ever been to a Catholic festival?
Well, I realize that whole, I realize I'm from the South though.
Oh, a lot of dry counties and shit.
Yeah. And my dad was Catholic and he never drank, so. Huh. I never got that whole Catholic experience.
It's not that every Catholic drinks, it's that the Catholics don't have a problem with drinking, I think, mostly. Or at least not when it's in service of God.
That's not what the jokes I hear are.
About Catholics?
Yeah.
Drinking?
Yeah.
Shit, man, Catholics love drinking, dude.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, they don't have a problem with it.
I hate you so much.
Creosote.
Alright.
So, now that we've established that, whatever that may be,
I'm continuing to be funny right now.
That a fact.
Just know that I'm being funny. on paper.
We'll take it as a given?
Yes. I'm okay. Very funny.
Just picture it, folks. Mike's being funny.
Extremely funny. It's ridiculous how funny I'm being.
Well, good. Be ridiculously funny, Mike.
I can't help it, man. That's just the way I am.
It's like you were born with magic.
I was born with magic.
Yeah. You didn't learn it. You didn't acquire it. It came naturally.
It did.
Mm-hmm. There. Okay. I just got done with a page I had to re-letter because I accidentally overwrote the file with the next file.
That sucks.
It does suck.
Why did you do that?
Well, I can explain how it happened. And it's not unusual.
I didn't really want to know.
Well, then in that case, I won't tell you.
Did you guys want to know?
Sure.
Son of a bitch!
Only if he sings it.
Can you sing it?
No.
You thought about it, though. You were thinking about it.
Right, but I mean, I could sing it if you really want this to take a long time, because I'd have to think about it. No, essentially, different people work different ways, obviously. I tend to work in a series where I use the previous file for the next page file. I just save it with a new page number, because I keep all my like repeatable shapes and stuff off the artboard on the sides, and that's where I also keep the script, you know, sizing of caption boxes, things like that.
Sorry.
And all my samples of text, like for when I have to change text or whatever, you know, just all my stuff that I use, all my elements. And for me, it's easier to do it this way than it is. Like, some letterers work with a separate file that they have that's got all that stuff, and then they keep their main working file clean.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's too much jumping back and forth. So it's just easier to have it all contained in the same file while I'm working. That way, all I got to do is just move around the page. But unfortunately, sometimes I get ahead of myself and I start lettering the next page without saving the new page's number.
That sounds like a recipe for lots of mistakes.
Well, it doesn't happen often enough for me to change my method. So.
It feels like I would fuck things up constantly.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it works for me like 99.4% of the time. I'm pulling a number out of my ass, you know.
Ass numbers.
Yes, the ass numbers. Quite like the hatch numbers.
You and your fucking loss! Jesus! Alright, what was I going to say? I forgot what I was going
to
say.
Well, to summarize, essentially I screwed up today.
Are you going to buy Nate Pikos' book?
Yeah, I saw that was for sale finally. I probably will, because I own like the Comic Craft one, and I own, was it DC had that one that was like a multi-guide?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure I'll pick up something useful from it. I don't know exactly how useful for me it would be, but I like to have stuff like that just in my reference. Plus, it helps him out, and he's a good, you know, good letter. So.
Yeah, I think Nate's really good, and he's probably one of the best. And, you know, Richard doesn't even do it anymore, so.
Right. Well, and even at the time, I mean, I think they need to update theirs, unless there is an updated version I don't know about.
Yeah.
Theirs is old enough that all the tech they're talking about and stuff.
Yeah, true.
It's just super dated. And,
You're super dated.
You are super dated. Super dated, yeah.
And even at the time when I read it.
I love that he just ignores it now.
Okay.
What?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, even at the time I remember reading it, like back in, I don't know, 07 or so, I didn't like the way they built their balloons, so I didn't do it that way anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was just like, again, it's just one of those things, there's more than one way to get to a thing, so it's a lot of it's just what you're comfortable doing.
Like the Richard Starkings way?
Yeah.
oh man, like that was like the number one thing I got out of that book, like his little illustrator trick for that.
I don't like how they keep their fills and their strokes separate and build them on top of each other.
Oh, yeah. But that works really well if you use the appearance panel on Illustrator. Yeah. It works less well for any other app. But with the Illustrator, you can just then build up a whole like layer of appearance and set that to a style, because you can layer your strokes and fills and adjust the order of them as a separate thing.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. There's only one instance, like, one for, like, to do it that way seems like a lot of work to only accomplish something that would be useful in a particular circumstance, which is like if you're having to intersect balloons or stack different speaker balloons or something, you know?
For me, it's just anytime I want text to go outside of the balloon, you know, and still have that stroke around it and want the balloon to like fit to the edge of the text that's breaking the boundary of the balloon. But I don't want to, like, re-path the balloon. I don't want to make a copy of the path of the text in order to merge it with the path of the balloon. And then using that layering style for the strokes just kind of does that automatically. Because it's just a set of strokes, one further and further outside of the other.
Right. Well, what I do when text is breaking a balloon like that is I do make a copy of the text. I throw the first copy directly behind the top copy of the text and stroke it white, and then throw the second copy behind the balloon and stroke it black, and it works.
Okay.
Yeah. But for me, that's since I don't do that enough to justify having to build all my rest of the balloons that way, you know.
But that's the thing; it's like you kind of do it once, and then that's a style that gets applied to all of them.
Yeah, but it just makes editing the balloons weird. Like you have to grab multiple layers of points and stuff if you want to like shift a tail or something.
Oh, you mean like doing it actually with like yeah? Okay, so I didn't do it with actual layers, like with actual paths and layers in the layers palette. I did it with layers of styles in the style palette, which is the way I thought that they were.
Oh, well, maybe I just never got what they were saying. And the way I looked at it, it never made sense. So I just do, the kind of join for tails and balloons that you, like when you alt-unite, to where they're still separate objects, but they're merged visually.
Right, like the, I forget what that is. Like, it's not expanded, the unexpanded version.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly.
Tails are unexpanded.
Well, that was unexpanded. Anyway.
One of you is wrong and one of you is right.
No,
fight.
That's the thing. Is there are way, way, way many like paths to get to the same point.
Yeah.
No, I want you to fight.
The thing that I really love from them, that like to make my balloons not like ovular, right? To make them a little more like squircles.
Yeah.
Squircles and ovular.
Like the amount of work I used to have to do that, and then I just have a bunch of template squircles sitting around depending on the size I wanted. And then they showed that if you just selected using the transparent arrow, if you selected each of the pads individually and then used the scale tool on those, it would do exactly what you wanted.
Is squircles,
and that was amazing.
A term?
I've never heard of the phrase squircle.
No, yeah, it's a legit geometric shape.
I'm just going with it.
What is a squircle?
It's a square circle.
It's a, it's,
it shows up and it asks, did I do that?
It's so stupid. It's stupid, but I approve. I'll allow it.
Are all circles squares?
What did you just say?
No.
What did you just fucking say?
I am now picturing Addison with one of those boards with the shapes.
No, you can't. A circle? A circle is to a square the same way an oval is to a rectangle. A circle fits in within a square, an oval fits within a rectangle.
I mean, it depends on the size of the square and the circle.
I mean, a square fits in a circle, too.
But you said any less right.
As in, a circle is equal on all sides, like a square. A
circle has
oval.
Exactly one side. You know what I mean? No, like the radius of the circle, I mean, the radius of the circle is equal to its center point.
Yes.
Yes. That is not true of a square.
You know what I mean. You could draw a circle in a square, and you could draw an oval in a rectangle, but you could not draw a circle within a rectangle.
Sure you could.
And you could. Uh-oh. Not touching all sides.
No, not touching all sides.
Why are you arbitrarily expressing rules to this?
But then what is a squircle, then?
Just a square.
Is it just a square with rounded corners?
Yes. It's an animation. It's like between a circle and a square, you end up with a squircle.
It's like a soft and fuzzy octagon.
But then what do you call it if you do that to a rectangle?
I don't know.
Squartangle?
What? How can there be a name for if you do it to a square, but not if you do it to a rectangle?
A rectangle would probably be a type of super ellipse, technically. But I don't know for sure.
So what if you round the corners of a triangle?
Super eclipse?
All right. Fart!
I demand a fight.
They call me Super. Only Squirtle I know is a Pokemon.
Did that really be solved? That was the ad. The
ones they're talking about.
I prefer the War Turtle.
Jigglypuff. Okay.
What did you just say?
I was seeing Jigglypuff.
Oh.
Jigglypuff.
I don't like what's happening here.
Squirtle.
I am not a fan of what is happening here.
Well, sometimes you just gotta go with it, Mike.
Go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go with the flow.
Mm-hmm. So,
Yes!
Was that a purple or a yellow conversation?
Purple. All day.
All day! Purple! All day!
It's a geometric conversation. All geometry conversations are yellow.
Don't worry about that. I'm not explaining it yet.
You can listen to the Crankcast.
I'm just going to go round off some triangles. Anyway.
Those are turkles.
Those are turkles.
I think you mean turkles.
Turkle 182?
Turkle 182! It's actually the brother. It's not Putton.
Right.
Isn't turkle a squared off turkle? Or a rounded turkle?
Wait, are we talking about purple nurples?
I don't like anything anymore.
This is like the worst monkey's bit.
There are no bad monkey's bits. Oh, and speaking of Hutton, after we talked last week, I looked up because I didn't know what you were talking about.
So you've been canceled?
Right, except it turns out that the people investigating the case dropped it because apparently it was bullshit.
Oh, then why is he fired from the show then?
It might have been because that's when they were casting. Or something?
That sucks for him.
The stuff I mean, he could have had a busy schedule, too, because he was doing that show where he played a doctor that inseminated a bunch of women.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Did you guys take off what show?
Timothy Hutton, off of...
Leverage. But, yeah, at least according to the article I read, like he even took that to the FBI and reported the person that was accusing him as being part of a extortion thing.
Mm.
So I don't know.
That's good. I mean, you don't really see that much if somebody's guilty.
I mean, you wouldn't think so, but I mean, we've spent the last presidency watching somebody do crimes in plain sight. So who knows?
Mm. That's true.
The world is upside down, and it's hard to tell right from wrong anymore.
You got that right. Yeah.
That just disturbed me a little bit.
It's dumb because it's somebody I used to go to high school that used to talk like that.
That's not the dead guy, is it?
No, it's not. It's not Matt.
Okay.
It is kind of too soon. It was this week.
Sorry, I didn't think you were all that close to him.
I wasn't. In fact, we didn't like each other for a long time.
Too soon.
He was turned into kind of a dick. And
not to speak ill of the dead.
Not to speak ill of the dead, but, and also, I mean, he was just...
Dead people could still be dicks.
Always, dead people could still be dicks.
It's true.
Him and another friend of mine were always trying to, get me into trouble. They didn't like that I was a rule follower.
Damn you and your rule of law. Following stuff.
Like, I told you the story about one of them leaving a obscene outgoing message on my parents' answering machine. And I got really in trouble for that.
You got in trouble for somebody else leaving an obscene message?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't seem right.
Doesn't.
They're your friends.
They were my friends. I allowed it to happen.
Were they, though?
Well, that's the thing. I realized maybe they're not my friends.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe they weren't your friends, Mike.
Right. So.
People you allowed in your house.
And it's interesting because, you know, he's actually a pretty significant part of that book that I'm doing.
Allegedly. Not him. He influenced it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's not.
You don't want kidney gate. Yeah. You can't have kidney gate into this.
Kidney gate?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a whole thing that's going around. Don't worry about it. You're better off.
Okay.
Pretty much, I figure anything that ends in gate, you don't really have to worry about. Unless it's an actual gate and you're walking into it.
You gotta watch out for gates.
Watch out for that gate!
Watch out for Bill Gates.
Well, yeah, he's microchips and stuff.
Get them chips! It's full of chips!
It's definitely full of chips, yeah. Some
full
chips,
of
mostly.
Chips! Every time I do something for them, it's the dumbest thing I've ever drawn.
So it's got to feel good to keep topping yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, goals.
I'm trying to think of a joke to put in this. Well, I already did a visual joke, but there's room for lettering on here, and I'm trying to think of something to put. I'm not that big a Star Trek guy.
Set the stun, Mike.
Set it to stun. Set your stomach to not. That doesn't sound right.
Well, you could say this cereal set to stun.
Mm.
That's sort of a double word play.
What?
Well, because, you know, when you say something is stunning, you know, you say it in a good context, but you can also use stun in a negative context in that it freezes you. And that freeze literally in temperature. I'm saying freezes as in you lose motion.
That doesn't quite work, does it? Set your taste buds to fun?
Ooh. Wait, why aren't we setting it to yum?
Yes!
There you go!
What am I listening to right now? Finally, Addison makes sense.
That's using your head for more than a hat wrap, buddy.
I need to avoid yum.
Set phasers to yum.
Allegedly.
Inspired.
Wait, we're setting phasers to yum, not taste buds to yum?
Oh, yeah. Phasers for sure.
Okay.
What? So, another interesting thing about this book I'm currently working on is that they are actually using thought balloons. Thought balloons are making a comeback.
You know what? They've been making a comeback for a long time, so I think they've been back.
Well, they have been making it. They're still not as frequent as they used to be. Like,
they were just called captions for a while.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They switched. They stopped doing thought balloons and went to captions instead, but that's super easy to, like, misplace for narrative caption or...
Yeah, my favorite was when narrative boxes had to be different colors for different characters. And I was like, are you really making this so much harder with a button?
Oh, that's not gone, dude.
I assume the boxes took over because usually the boxes can, like, you don't need to have, because you don't need the trail going to them, it's, like, easier to use them and not cover stuff up. Or, like,
it's just arbitrary. Somebody thought in, like, 2001 that thought balloons are stupid.
Yep.
So, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem...
There's still people that say that.
I do think the boxes are cleaner.
The best explanation I heard is that a caption box is like a voiceover movie, like the narrative beginning of Blade Runner,
whereas a thought balloon is internal dialogue, like in Dune, like Paul talking to himself.
Yeah, that makes sense, but also that thinking to themselves was very distracting for a lot of people with Dune.
Yeah, no, for sure, right? That's, I think that also reflects a positive usage.
Because that's what they sounded like.
So why is he whispering it to himself? Nice.
One of my all-time favorite shows is just that.
Just people whispering to themselves?
No, it's an internal monologue.
I feel like
thought balloons also have the habit of being used so much when, like, characters would be just explaining exactly what they were doing.
Well, yeah, but they still do a lot of exposition. They just stick it in boxes instead.
Yeah. Well, I recently saw it. I thought it was really weird. I saw it. I was reading something. I think like one of the X series recently, and someone did the whole like saying out loud exactly what they were doing thing, and it felt really weird because I felt like I hadn't seen it in a while. But all of a sudden, it was like someone doing that kind of old school thing of like doing the thing and saying exactly what they were doing at the same exact time.
They do a lot of that in the new X-Men book.
Mm.
Like the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
But I think part of that is to like intentionally get throwback also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really get... If you can show it, I don't get saying it as well as showing it, you know?
Yeah.
It just seems really redundant, and it chews up space to be, you know, better used with art. Like,
I want to do a book with a guy, and there's a caption box explaining like what's happening, but then the guy is also explaining what's happening in his thoughts.
Yeah, like, man, no joke. I've had to do that before.
And then the caption box says New York City.
Yeah, no joke. I've had to do stuff like that. And it's not pretty. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, stuff comes and goes, I guess. But to me, it was like the thought balloons. It always seemed like a waste to just discard a useful tool, because it was a way of defining that this is a thought, not somebody, you know, doing narrative, or not somebody speaking out loud or whatever. It was a direct visual cue that was distinct from anything else. Like, now, if only people would stop doing word balloons with nothing but an ellipsis in it. That's
like, what? Really?
That's just, it's a pet peeve of mine, because why are you doing a balloon with somebody saying nothing, not even making a noise? You know? Like, it...
I see what you're saying.
But just the three dots?
Yeah.
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 The fireflies around it, though, that's kind of like, that's like a
test
guess, right? Like, that's
the ellipses in a speech balloon is like a rest in music to me.
I understand that they're used as pauses, but that should be done with placement and spacing, not with a character in a balloon that's not anything, you know? Like,
I also think it is being speechless.
Like, yeah.
Still not on the right page? What the hell's going on? Oh, okay. I see.
Is that from manga?
I don't know. See, probably, because they use it as like an SFX a lot of times. Rather than being in a balloon.
Like in Scott Pilgrim?
I guess. I'm not sure. I know, but I mean, I know I've seen it a lot of times, like, because, you know, in manga, they'll use a lot of like visual indicators, like the snot drip from the nose and the puff of breath and stuff like that. Or like wavy lines around people.
I'm just gonna do a comic with a speech balloon with nothing but end bashes.
Okay, well.
You know which one I don't like? It's the Grant Morrison one, the CCK.
What's that look like?
Yeah, Batman goes CCK. Is that what his CCK?
Is he just making the noise like his teeth chattering or something?
TCK. It's not TCK though. I think it's TCK.
There was one in the Nick Spencer run of Spider-Man that he kept having people do, and kept being really distracting. It was a sound that I'd never seen.
I had to do one recently that was pretty cool. That was, there was like an overriding noise going on in the panels that made it so loud that, you know, you couldn't hear. And, but the writer still wanted it to look like people were trying to speak, so we just did empty word balloons. And, that seemed pretty effective for the scene because there were these large sound effects going from panel to panel to panel of the noise just going like, ee! Or whatever.
I like that. I approve.
So I mean that seemed pretty effective though. Like
approved.
And I don't know, I'm trying to remember, like I guess it worked in G.I. Joe 21 with the ellipses.
Were there ellipses in G.I. Joe 21?
Well yeah, I mean they would do that for Snake Eyes, like he was trying to say something and because he couldn't speak though, you know? And so they would draw the balloon with just the ellipsis in it.
You'd say gack.
He wouldn't even make those noises. Like
gack.
I think those were in 21. I know I'd see him for Snake Eyes off and on back then. I can't remember if 21 had them or not. I guess if it had balloons in it, it technically wouldn't. Well, it would still be a silent issue because he's not saying anything. I don't remember. It's been a long time since I read that. Blew my mind when I was a kid, though.
Blew my mind. Why is my mind blown?
And then to find out later that the only reason they did it was because they just didn't have time to letter it. Or write the dialogue and letter it, something like that. Because they were doing it Marvel style with a plot at first.
That's the way things are.
It's like you notice that Chris Claremont stopped writing after Bob Lewis disappeared.
Yeah, well, I don't think he could have functioned any other way.
He's like, how do I write this?
Who can't do it?
How do I explain the totality of Psylocke's, what's the line?
Inner turmoil?
The focused totality of her psionic... Focus totality of her psionic powers, or
something like that.
It is important enough to put in every fucking issue.
Every fucking issue.
They, well, yeah, I mean, I remember us talking back in the, you know, mid-aughts and stuff, how we were talking about, we had a couple of shows about, like, deconstructed storytelling and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, comics go through fads, I guess. Phases, fads, whatever you want to call them.
Sure.
I'm going to call them fads because usually it's one person that does it and they're pretty well known. And so other people go, oh, it worked for him. Let's follow it kind of thing.
Exactly. Broccoli.
It's, I mean, like, it's like pouches in the 90s, you know?
Don't you like pouches?
Who doesn't? I love pouches, man. I gotta have pockets and pouches.
Pouches.
I love pouches.
You don't like pouches.
You're right. I like pockets.
You weren't in... I was down with pouches. You weren't down with pouches.
I wasn't down with pouches. I was down with Patches, though.
You're on Patches, the clown?
Yeah, well, the cat, I was thinking. But, yeah, sure. I'm trying to think, like, what other fads do you remember from different stages of comics?
Well, people got really into doing the Wolverine-style, like, Finn masks on a single character.
Finn masks?
No, like, the like, two, like, how he has, like, I guess that's the best way, like, the...
Oh, the...
Like, the fins, the blue fins on, like, when they were really big off his yellow and blue suit, like, I feel like everyone was trying to do that style of mask on every new character.
Mm.
For a little while there, everybody was doing unintelligible paneling.
How do you mean?
Just, like, They're trying to be extra fancy, and nobody is that good at it.
Oh, bad storytelling, you mean?
Yeah, so it's
okay, yeah.
There was like a little block there, like 2014, maybe. I feel like there's a bunch of artists that were like doing like, I don't know, it was all like extra whimsical, like weird paneling.
It's okay, you can say it was Chris Pachala.
What?
You can say it was Chris Pachala.
This, no. It was several image books.
I still see the weird thing with that every now and then where it's just like, I don't think the person working has quite mastered their craft well enough to break the grid, you know?
My favorite is like, you know this is going to get lettered, right?
Oh, well, I say that like just about every issue.
Because like the panels are all fucking wacky and everything. I'm like, how are you going to let this?
Oh, every damn issue I work on with Ryan Brown, yes. Man, in curse words, because he in the, you know, in the first issue he established he wanted to do these W panels for Wizard.
Oh yes, as somebody that's had to draw one.
At least that was regimented.
Yeah,
regimented, but you know, you having to, because of the amount he draws and the amount of dialogue Charles tends to write, I'm pretty much, I always have to butt balloons against borders. I can't just let them free float.
Yeah.
So constantly having to try to get the right stack and then butt an angled balloon, you know?
It was the same problem trying to do like color holds, especially on like the backgrounds when they would go, or magic, that would go right up against the border.
Right.
Instead of being able to just draw like, or pull like a rectangle selection tool and delete stuff for the borders, they'd have to like go in and like get the angle like exactly right with the line selection tool.
Yeah, I remember working on another one too, where it was a lot of the panels. This wasn't a Brown book. I can't remember who it was, but a lot of the panels in the book was a
book.
Say what?
Nothing.
All right. Anyway, the book I'm talking about now is a lot of the panels were curved or in some way. There weren't a lot of just straight rectangular panels and stuff where I could easily just, you know, if I needed to mask something off, I could just draw a rectangle and butt it up and be done with it, you know. I had to, like, actually deal with curves and stuff.
The other problem was people who would draw their pages traditionally and then scan them in, but wouldn't replace in panel borders digitally, so you'd go to, like, you know, pull a selection box or something, and the panel was all skewed from the scan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's weird. I'm so used to working with people that are pretty much 100% digital that when I come across somebody that's a hybrid like that now and they haven't scanned them in and leveled out the panels, It comes as a surprise to me. So.
Yeah.
But that's more of a function, I think, of just I've gotten used to working with people that are have more of a digital path flow, you know?
Yeah.
Because when I first started lettering, it wasn't like that. You had to check, like, every page and see, like, if the scanner did their job, then they leveled the pages themselves. But, yeah. It's just, and it's not that I'm opposed to creative panel layout or anything, because it can look really neat if it's done right. Even if it is a pain in the ass to work on. It's just a lot of times I don't think that it's, I don't think the end result is quite as impressive as it should be for the amount of work that it would take to do it and deal with it, you know? I guess. But yeah, I mean, stuff like that, it can look really neat. But it's still, the ultimate thing to me is it's got to be able to be read. If you're having trouble deciding which panel to go to next, and you have to, like, hunt around on the page to actually get the order correct, then you stop somebody from just reading the book. And that's, unless that's your intention, that's probably not really the effect you wanted to create. So. Hey, comics!
Comics!
We talked about comics.
Stop talking about comics.
We talked about the comics. Now, On Lost, there was a comic with a polar bear.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was a Green Lantern, wasn't it?
Yeah, except they called it something else. Oh, it was in Spanish, so I guess they changed his name in Spanish?
Actually, a Green Lantern. Yeah, it's a Green Lantern issue. I remember that.
And I guess they were implying that Walt created the polar bears?
Yeah, that, like, he was manifesting stuff.
Right.
They never went anywhere with that, either. Well, they kind of did, but then everything trickles away in that show.
Well, the problem with him was that he got too old, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that was a physical problem when they couldn't keep the actor, right?
Right.
They had to get rid of him.
He was attacking people.
They should have just had him, like, faster on the island.
Yeah, I don't know why they couldn't have done that, since he was gone for, like, half a season anyway when he was kidnapped. They could have just said, well, they stuck him in the shed and he aged or something.
I forgot he was kidnapped.
Yeah.
Yes. That's true.
I've got another Lost question for you, to see if you either you know or suspect.
Okay.
Okay, so there was that, in season 3, I think, there was that sort of Hitchcockian episode where the couple that stole the diamonds?
Oh, the Brazilian people?
He was Brazilian, and she was like an American actress or something.
Yes.
But then they turn on each other, and there's a thing with the spider venom, and they freeze and then get buried alive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, during that episode, they did another, and they do this off and on, but they did another recreation of the beach scene, the initial scene from the first episode.
With the tailies?
No, where they first crash and like everybody's waking up and that guy flies into the jet engine and stuff like that.
So they could like retrofit their origin.
Right. So did they recreate that whole beach scene every time, or did they shoot all that footage early on?
I guess they have to recreate it.
Wow.
Wouldn't they?
Wait, that's part of you confused about?
No, I'm just asking because I don't know.
They had to build all that stuff again because they didn't film the
plane crash.
The flash, yeah.
Like when they wake up on the beach and everything's like burning and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Like, did they have to recreate that every time they wanted to do one of these, like, retrograde things? Or retrofit things?
Well, I know, like, the plane sections on the beach.
Yeah.
They're there for like years.
Okay, so they could just go back and just relight fires and stuff.
Like, it was just, that beach was just set up for a long time in Hawaii.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, if they had to film all that early on for a scene in season 3, then that showed at least some forethought, you know? Like, but if it was all still available, then I guess it could have gone either way. Okay, yeah, that's all I wondered. That's the only question I had about Lost, period.
Yeah.
Everything else makes complete
sense. I feel like you've been talking about it for 7 years now.
Everything else makes complete sense. I figured it all out now.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Lost is a relatively new show.
Relative to, like, The Honeymooners? But, yeah. Anyway, so I guess we're about at time. Do we have any email, Mike? Don't say.
Yes.
Okay.
Chris Chavez from Northern California writes, "Hello, Crank, Mike, and anyone else caught in the audio backwash."
He?
Oh, a t-shirt.
Enjoyed hearing your discussion about watching the off-the-beaten-path older horror movies, especially picking your brain for any that are direct tie-ins to H.P. Lovecraft. Have either of you watched Underwater starring Kristen Stewart? Yes, I have. I personally enjoyed it a lot more than most any other movies I've seen her in, and I think that the movie has a very Lovecraft-adjacent set of sensibilities. I recommend it to any of you who have not seen it yet and would enjoy hearing your thoughts if you have watched it.
I have not seen it yet.
It's Lovecraftian other than the monster in it, which is kind of cool. I didn't expect that.
I thought it was just as, I can't see anything.
Hey, is that Jim?
Yeah.
Hi, Jim.
Hello.
It's a pretty good horror movie. It's one of those that nobody goes to see, and then you're like, I wonder what was wrong with it, and then you watch it and you're like, it's just not what everybody expected from Kristen Stewart, so they didn't go see it.
So is that, in this case, is that a good thing?
I think so.
Okay.
People kind of just underestimate her these days.
Yeah, so it was really...
Twilight. Yeah. It's like, she does the same thing with us.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I recommend it.
Cool.
For any of you not comfortable with spiders, has that kept you from watching old Jeff Daniels movie Arachnophobia?
No, actually.
I think this movie sits in solidly with some of the PG-13-ish horror movies of the 80s, including Poltergeist, Gremlins, and the more modern Stranger Things. If Mike has a problem with potential shower spiders waiting to pounce, a rewatch of this movie should definitely have him living as a bubble boy going forward. Yes, I have seen Arachnophobia.
I
can deal with the big fake spider at the end, but the rest of them are real, and I don't like that.
I mean, they are pretty creepy, but I'm not, like... Like, I mean, they're not...
You know, the spider in Lord of the Rings was way too realistic for me.
Yeah.
But they've changed since Arachnophobia.
She-lop.
You know what? The spider in Crawl is creepy because it's stop motion. And that gives it that weird feeling.
Yeah. How do you feel about eight-legged creeps?
Eight Layer Freaks is also kind of creepy because they have the
scream.
It's not the scream because when they laugh, it's kind of funny because they laugh in that movie. The spiders do, but there's this one. They have like the kind of spiders, like those banana spiders that are shiny, and I hate those things. And one like crawls up on somebody and like spins a web around, and that always bothers me. Okay. Have any of you seen the last Halloween movie, and will you be watching the new Halloween Kills on Peacock when it comes out this? It's on Peacock?
Yeah.
Wow. Is it not in theaters?
It comes out Friday.
Mm. Well, the violence of the last Halloween movie was over the top. It was. Felt like a Halloween movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not over the top for a Halloween movie.
No, especially the later ones.
I think it still made sense in the grand scheme of things. Yeah, it's great. It's one of the best ones. It may be like the second best one.
100%.
Which one? I'm sorry. Which one?
Halloween, the latest one, not the one that's coming out.
Oh, I don't know if I saw the recent. Is that another zombie one?
Wait, what? What?
Is that another?
Halloween 2. 2018.
The newest one.
Okay, the last ones I saw was I tried to watch the Rob Zombie ones, and I couldn't get into them.
Yeah, that's just a bunch of screaming.
I have never seen a Halloween
movie. Really?
A single one of them?
Sorry.
Did you watch it?
It comes up once a year, usually around Halloween.
Yeah.
And you all point out how good it is, and I haven't
got to watch it. It'll be easy. What's the first, it's hard with a kid in the house a bit.
Mm-hmm. Halloween is a really good double feature with the first Alien.
Yeah, I bet. Take care, everyone, in Oktoberfest safely. Chris Chavez in Northern California. Thank you, Chris.
Well, thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Chavez.
A lot of good movies to watch. Sometimes. What? What was the next one?
Say what?
Don Carnage writes,
Don Carnage.
I can sympathize with Mike in feeling the pull to do music while also being busy with art. I think for me it's a creative outlet that I can easily make notable improvements on, unlike art, which I feel insurmountable amount of effort to make small improvements on. That's interesting because I feel the opposite. That said, I wonder if for Mike it's something that challenged him more than art does at this point. Yes, exactly. And perhaps it's also a different area of his creative brain getting satisfied, so it feels fresher and new. Yes, exactly. You nailed it.
Nailed it.
Either way, I'm happy for Mike getting songs out. It's a great feeling. I have 10. I've made 10 songs since June.
Nice.
Count them. 10. 10 beautiful songs.
Also, it's not too late for both of you to join Rifftober.
I ain't got time for that this October, man.
No, I can't do that. Cheers, Don. Thank you, Don.
Thanks.
Don does a thing called Rifftober.
Yeah.
Instead of trying something, he makes a riff.
A couple people I follow on Instagram do it, and I thought about maybe just taking the ones that they've done that don't have backing tracks and just putting bass to them and putting them up as a Rifftober.
Yeah.
Here's the. Like,
I just made a song out of your riff.
Yeah. Motherfuckers, there are 11 other months in the year.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
You know what? I was thinking this last week because I was starting to get like, I guess it's FOMO because I'm like, I really wish I should do that sometime. Everybody's doing this something-tober thing.
You can't do November because you need to grow your beard back.
Yeah. Wait,
you also need to write a novel in November.
There I am also.
Mermaid? It's mermaid. It's May.
Mermaid? That's not a thing.
Yeah, it is.
Get out of here.
Yeah. You don't want mermaid. Christmas, you can't do anything during Christmas.
I can do whatever the hell I want.
I mean, we don't...
But yes, I understand what you're saying.
We don't limit our horror movie watching to October, do we?
No, but when I started doing, like, the stupid thing that I'm doing, it was during October, I think. And I did it specifically because it's October, it's scary movie season, and I've never really watched a lot of horror movies. And I've made up for that in the last 4 years.
October already has costumes and beer.
Yeah.
And they've had those forever now.
I don't know of an Oktoberfest that actually takes place in October, though.
Oh, that, okay. I took that based out of
September, right?
Yeah.
Usually, yeah. I never really understood that either. Somebody explained it to me once.
I like that sort of Inktober because it gets me working again on with an actual brush.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a reason to stay in. Although I've been really bad at it this year.
But that's what I'm saying is
everyone's been doing alternatives.
I get jealous of the people doing it, but at the same time, I am already doing Inktober all the time.
Right.
I mean, my stupid Instagram movies, these songs. I'm already doing that
every
day. I just don't show them to everybody.
Guess I'll do Decembon again.
Nice.
I'm not gonna lie, when he first was talking about Rifftober, I didn't think it was to do guitar.
You thought it was like you recorded
a riff track every day for the whole month.
Here's my joke about Gamera versus at minute 141, play this joke. Like, damn, Rifftober sucks.
What, if you do one movie and write a joke a day?
You write one joke.
Oh, I
and eventually, at the end of the month, you have a whole movie.
Oh, see, I get the bump for October, which is just a movie.
Yeah.
I was thinking that you have to watch a movie and record a whole riff track.
Oh, that's way too much, too.
In that one day. But you do it off the cuff. You just watch a movie.
But I use, I mean,
that's what you already do.
I turn too many of my hobbies into jobs. Well, thank you, Don. That's enough. No more mails.
Okay. Well, then. Guess we're at the end of the show.
Yep.
Time for our ASMR moment.
Frank.
What? How can I help you?
Have you ever watched any of the early 70s Japanese exploitation films?
I don't know. If I have, I can't, like, identify him as such in my memory.
That's a bundle called Scorpion.
Oh, yeah, that was a whole series.
Scorpion Thunderbolt?
No, the full name is Female Prisoner 701, Scorpion.
Because I've seen Scorpion Thunderbolt, and that shit is bananas. fucking Godfrey Ho. Godfrey Ho is a hoe.
Oh. Well, if you get a chance, they're pretty visually astonishing.
I know what they are, but I haven't seen them.
Yeah.
There's like, how many of them are? There's a bunch of them, aren't there?
There's four of them. Okay. And they are really exploitation films, so, you know, prepare yourself for that. But visually, they're pretty remarkable.
I will see. They were on Amazon a while back, and I had them in my queue, but then they went off Amazon, so I don't know if I ever...
They did on Shudder. There's a lot of great, weird, eclectic stuff on Shudder right now.
Cool.
I did it. I finished it.
Okay.
It took the whole episode, but I finished it.
Is it like the best cereal box ever?
Set phasers to done! What?
Yeah, that I can't top that, so never mind.
You were going to.
I was going to say something, but never mind.
You need to say that when you send them the email.
Set phasers. I'm going to. I stole all your ideas.
You're not funny.
Oh,
please don't send jokes.
That's what they are very nice about that. They don't ever say that, but I know that's what they're thinking.
We want to hire you for the art.
We just want the art. Leave the jokes out. We're paying people for jokes.
That company?
Hmm. All right, let's okay. go.
Well, anybody got anything in stores this week?
I mean, I had a comic in stores last week.
What was last week?
This is the Are You Afraid of Darkseid Halloween special.
Was it written by R.L. Stine?
It was written by, my part's by Elliot Kalan, but it's a bunch of different other people.
Oh, okay, so an anthology book.
Elliot Kalan, also a Mystery Science Theater.
Cool.
It's just, you know, the nature of the class.
Anybody else?
I guess not.
Okay. I missed on this last week, so I'm going to mention that... from Oni, Rick and Press, Rick and Morty Presents, Snuffles Goes to War number 1 was in stores. And
Goes to War?
Snuffles Goes to War. Fights a bunch of squirrels.
Okay.
It's pretty nutty.
Come on.
Also, Rick's New Hat number 3.
The names of these books are real stupid.
It's Rick and Morty, man. What do you expect? I mean, come on. We're not talking high literature here. And then also, Money Shot number 15 was last week.
Mm.
And this week is, I don't know, I'm looking.
World of Darkness, like a Crimson Saw number 1.
Who's that from?
Vault.
Okay.
It's the event. It's the first of a 3-issue event series following up Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh. So is it, when you say event, is it like a crossover?
They're bringing in werewolves.
They're bringing in werewolves for this. It's kind of like the baby in Growing Pains when...
Huh?
Get off! Leave!
But,
hang up!
It's a bit because usually like the World of Darkness stuff is kept pretty separate, like in the games.
Okay. Well, alright then. Also this week is Rick and Morty Mr. Nimbus number 1.
Mr. Nimbus!
So,
what's a Nimbus?
He's kind of like Rick and Morty's Aquaman. Or actually, I guess Namor.
Probably. He's Rick's arch nemesis.
Yeah. But he's sort of like Namor. So. I guess that's all I see with a quick scan there. So. You all have a good lunch.
I love you.
Love you too, Mike.
Why does everyone laugh? I say that to him every week and nobody ever says anything, but today everybody's laughing.
I don't know. Why are you making it awkward?
I love you.
See, you're making it awkward.
I love you.
All right. Well, have a good weekend.
Okay.
Take it easy, dude.
I love you.